In a black star-sprinkled sky, we soar backward over Earth. Massive block letters of gold and silver orbit into view. The continents show the speckled electrified glow of hundreds of cities. The Earth eclipses the sun, and a massive word hovers front and center. Universal, a Comcast company.
Parallel black tiles slide into a red background to form the E's in a logo that reads Bleecker Street. The letters fade away, leaving only the now shiny metallic tiles that disappear row by row. An animated white swan spreads its wings as letters rise from the rippling black water around it, SH Pictures. White letters in caps on a black background form the logo Gidden Media. Words appear. The following is based on a true story. A man in his 20s with short black hair holds a chain-link fence, gazing through it at a field where kids play football.
I remember my first game of football. Something happened that afternoon that's hard to explain. I felt like I could do anything. I felt free. I didn't know much about what that word meant then. Free. Not like I do now. Freedom doesn't just start on the football field. It starts in the mind.
A young boy in the field scores and holds the ball overhead, smiling. The skyline of a coastal city turns into an aerial view of a football stadium. Words appear 2 years earlier in Long Beach, California.
Thanks, Brandon. Cover two. Ready?
Long Beach City College. Two teams face off at a scrimmage line. A defensive player hits the quarterback, causing a fumble. He scoops up the ball and scores a touchdown. In a locker room, the scoring player celebrates with others and is approached by a middle-aged coach.
Good hustle today, Banks.
Thanks, coach. Oh, it took a minute for that muscle memory to kick in.
I know we're not SC, but we are glad to have you here.
The coach pats his shoulder pad, walking off. Jovial teammates surround Brian as he stares at his phone, reluctant to answer. He moves to a more private area.
This is Brian.
Need you in my office 9 a.m. tomorrow morning, Banks.
Well, I thought our next meeting was until next month.
Special meeting. Be there.
Brian hangs up with a concerned look. Later, Brian passes a police car entering the Division of Adult Parole Operations building, Compton, California. He enters a room observing a group of unenthusiastic men gathered there. A man in a collared shirt in his 40s approaches.
All right, listen up, children. Those of you who have seen the news, I'm sure you know, Sacramento has implemented a new law last week that all 290 registrants who are currently on parole must wear one of these. There's a GPS tracking monitor that you wear on your ankle. Put your hand down, son. I already know your question. Can you take it off? The answer is never, ever. You must wear this thing 24/7. You charge it in the morning, you charge it in the evening. Now remember, you must be within LA County, but cannot be within 2,000 feet of a school or a park. Are we clear?
A monitor is attached to Brian.
You know I've been playing football with Long Beach City College.
Not anymore, you're not. Can't bust this thing up.
Can I just remove it while I play?
No way.
But I gotta play, sir. See, I'm trying to work my way back to a shot at the NFL.
Yeah, me kids tell me that every day. They want to be in the NFL, NBA, rap stars. Forget about football. Boyhood dreams got no place in a man's life. You need to concentrate on getting employed. Huh? You can dick around, end up right back in the system. So on you. Next.
Brian gets into his car. He leans back onto the seat, then looks down at the tracking monitor on his ankle.
Oh. No.
He pounds the steering wheel. No. Brian leans forward on the wheel, hands folded and eyes tearing up. Later, he sits at a kitchen table eating with his mother.
Maybe they'll cut your time short.
I ain't gonna cut it short.
Well, maybe you can play football when it's up.
Mom, nobody starts playing football at 27.
Wearing a solemn expression, she breaks eye contact with him, going back to her dinner. A charging cable runs along the ground and onto the bed, attached to Brian's ankle. On his laptop, he fills out a job application form for Melendez Bistro. A section reads, "Have you ever been convicted of a felony or misdemeanor?" He quickly shuts the laptop. Setting it aside, he spots an open book and grabs it. The title page reads, "As a Man Thinketh" by James Allen. An inscription on the left reads, "All you can control in life is how you respond to life," Jerome Johnson. A smartly dressed Brian walks down a busy street. He exits a clothing shop with a help wanted sign in the window. In a restaurant, a man holding his application shakes his head no. Walking outside, he comes across a park where some kids are tossing a football. He turns on his heels and heads in the opposite direction. A woman sits across a desk from Brian next to some boxes labeled Pacific Produce. They smile and chat until she reviews his application, and her smile fades. Later, she sees a sullen-faced Brian out of the building. In his bedroom, Brian struggles to remove the ankle monitor. A small TV plays on the dresser.
Today marks the culmination of a five-year battle by the California Innocence Project to right a terrible wrong. 21 years ago, this man was convicted and locked away for a crime he didn't commit.
Write him again.
Brian's mom stands in the doorway.
They already turned me down, Mom.
This time, don't tell him about your case. Tell him about you. Tell him who you are.
Sitting on his bed, Brian considers his mom's words. On his laptop, he finds California Innocence Project. Text on the page reads, "About our director, Justin P. Brooks," next to a photo of the man from the TV report. Brian starts to write.
"Dear Mr. Brooks, I'm writing you again in the hope that the California Innocence Project will reconsider my case."
His letter is opened.
"I know you hear from a lot of people, but maybe if you got to know me, you might reconsider. Let me state clearly and unequivocally, I am innocent. I spent 6 years in prison and the past three on parole for a sex offense that I did not commit. I wrote you 2 years ago from CMC and you turned me down. But I don't stay down, not for long. I learned that in prison, and I learned it growing up, too."
A sign reads, "Hillside Park."
"You see, I played a lot of football when I was young. And it wasn't all ice cream and pizza parties. No, sir. I had a different walk home."
Some teens smoke pot.
"Life in Long Beach was for real. And it was hard to see a way out."
Young Brian watches police aggressively arrest a man.
"But football gave me an option. It taught me discipline and dedication. And strangely, it gave me faith."
Young Brian prays.
"Because Mom said my talent was God-given. So each night, I promised to give something back in return."
Justin reads the letter.
"By the time I was 16, I wasn't just your average high school football player. I was what they called a sure thing."
In his high school football uniform, Brian makes several hard tackles.
"I played middle linebacker on one of the best teams in the country. We had 2,000 fans at every game. But to be honest, I only heard one."
Brian's mom cheers from the stands.
"Even though I was just a sophomore, I had the attention of the media."
"Big game coming up, Brian. Remember, we're doing that feature on you. You'll call me, right?"
"Oh, yes, sir."
"Great game."
"And the best coach in college football."
"Push up, push up."
"Hey, Coach Carroll."
"Ryan."
"Coach Pete Carroll of USC."
"See you, man. Just reviewed the tape on you from last season. Amazing."
"Oh, thanks, Coach.
Can't wait to see what you bring today. We do this right. We're not just talking about Roosevelt. We're talking NFL and a lifetime locked in."
"Coach Carroll was someone I looked up to, and his belief in me made a world of difference."
His mom holds a letter.
"What did it say?"
"USC."
"Huh?"
"It says USC."
"Yeah."
"But all that changed on July 8th, 2002. You know that feeling you get that tells you something is off? Some say it's the voice of God. Had I listened to that voice, we might not be here today."
High school age Brian approaches a girl.
"But But I didn't. And here we are.
Justin sets down the letter and studies a photo of Brian. Elsewhere, Brian helps unload some street barricades.
Wait, hold on.
Brian digs in his pocket for his phone.
Yeah.
Pack it up. Get out of here.
I'm not done with the job yet.
No, you are done.
The monitor says that you're at Pomona Fairgrounds. Fair and sex offender do not go together, Banks.
Sir, we're only here for a couple more hours. Look, you know how long it took me to get this job? If I leave now, I'll get fired.
Yeah, if you don't leave now, you
might as well drive yourself straight to county.
Pack it up. Get your ass out of there.
Brian hangs up and paces, sweat stains on his shirt. Words appear, California Western School of Law, San Diego.
All right, so I'm innocent. What are my options? Anybody? Come on, what are my options? Yes.
Take it to the Supreme Court?
No, you have no constitutional right to take it to the Supreme Court, even if you're innocent. The best you can do is take it to the state level. And good luck with that in California. Because, I'm going to keep telling you guys this, it is almost impossible to overturn a conviction here in California. We make those people out in Alabama look like a bunch of liberals. I quote, new evidence must completely undermine the prosecution's case and point unerringly to innocence. All right? That's it for today. Thanks.
As students disperse, Brian approaches Justin at the front of the classroom.
Mr. Brooks, I'm Brian Banks.
Oh, hey, Brian. Yeah, you're the football player, right?
You got my letter.
I got your letters, plural, right?
Outside.
Well, look, Brian, I know Alyssa explained to you we only work with wrongly imprisoned people.
I was wrongly imprisoned.
I know, but you're out now, okay? It's a good thing. And you took a plea.
I only took a plea because I
was... You don't have to explain. It's okay. It's okay. 97% of all cases plead out, but you didn't go to trial, so you can't appeal. There's nothing you can do.
There's always something you can do.
You can file a habeas petition.
A what?
It's a writ of habeas corpus. You challenge the conviction based on new evidence.
But if you were paying attention in there, you heard me. It's got to be damn good evidence, all right? I got to go.
Let me tell you about my DNA evidence.
Which you had at the time, right? You didn't use it. That's what I'm trying to tell you, Brian. You need something new. New piece of evidence. A new witness who can place you somewhere else at the time of the incident or a recantation by the complainant.
What's that?
Well, basically, the girl would have to say you didn't do it.
Come on, man. I go anywhere near that girl, they're gonna put me right back in prison. And ain't no way that girl gonna flip. She got paid $1.5 million.
Justin shuts his trunk.
She what?
Her and her mom sued the school district for lack of security. They got 1.5.
Justin looks off, frowning.
All right, well, look, Brian, I've got clients, innocent people. They've been locked up 20, 30 years. They'd love to be able to take a nice drive to San Diego.
Criminal justice system is messed up. It's supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. In a lot of cases, it's the exact opposite. Sounds like yours included. I'm sorry.
Brian watches Justin walk away.
What's that thing called again? A writ of what?
Habeas corpus.
Brian nods to himself with a serious expression. On his laptop, he opens a form titled Petition for a Writ of Habeas Corpus. He fills it in, addressing it to Long Beach Superior Court. Brian gathers printed evidence from files and types, reason for dismissal, DNA results, perjury, ineffective counsel. He continues to sort through piles of paper, including a deposition from Kenesha Rice, as he works through the night. In the morning, he staples all the evidence together and seals it in an envelope for Long Beach Superior Court. Elsewhere, a sign reads, Floyd's Gym. Inside, Brian talks with a muscular man.
Hey, Corey, look, man. I really appreciate what you're trying to do, but I ain't gonna be surprised if the owner's got a problem with this.
Brian, I've known you since we were kids. I'm gonna talk to the owner, let him know you're a straight-up dude, and that he has nothing to worry about, because he doesn't.
Hey, thanks, man.
Gotcha.
It means the world, all right?
Hey, Karina. Come here for a sec. I want to introduce you to my man, Brian. He's going to be working here soon.
Great. Nice to meet you.
Let me tell you something about this dude. Like, back in the day, baddest football player ever.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
You don't play anymore?
I'm not in playing shape right now.
But you know, Karina could help you with that. I mean, this girl right here is fierce. Get you back in tip-top shape in no time. So listen, I'm going to call you in a few days.
Huh? Thanks again. Really?
No problem, man. I got you.
Corey leaves.
Corey's great. Treats people really well.
Oh, you're stepping out for me, that's for sure.
So are you gonna work out?
I'm thinking about it. Corey said it was cool, so, you know.
Well, I can train you if you want.
Oh, wow. Look, that's really generous. Thank you. But things have been kind of tight for me lately, so.
No problem. First session is complimentary. Really. Come on. See what you got.
Karina spots Brian as he bench presses. I'm gonna
take you on a trip with a Those arms.
She watches him sprint on a treadmill. He ties his laces, covering the monitor with his sock. Now he does box jumps. As they finish on a punching bag, Brian sweats profusely. They share a flirtatious smile. Later, they have coffee.
So I wanted to get my master's, but I have so many student loans that I just thought, you know, why not take a break, work, chip away at some of that debt. And before I knew it, 2 years turned into five, and still not in grad school, but.
So what you studying?
I majored in arts.
What? That's cool.
Anyway, Columbia is the dream for grad school, so fingers crossed.
Hey, got to cross.
Anyway, what about you? You used to be a football player.
Yeah.
But you don't play anymore?
I'm hoping to.
What happened? Why don't you play?
His smile fades.
Okay, Karina, look, if we're gonna hang out, be friends, there's something I gotta tell you.
Okay.
When I was 16, I was accused of something I didn't do. Now, this is back in high school. You know, I was on my way to USC, full ride, football, everything, right? This young lady falsely accused.
Brian continues telling Karina his story, seated outside the coffee shop. Her expression grows more solemn as he speaks. He finishes, and she averts her eyes.
I have to go back to work. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
let me. I'll give you something.
No, don't worry. Don't worry about it. I got it.
I'll see you at the gym. Okay.
It's okay. It's okay. Yeah.
Karina leaves Brian alone at the table. His polite smile disappears when she's gone. Later, at home.
Mom.
Tossing his keys on the table, he notices a pile of mail. On top is a letter from Superior Court of California. He sets the letter down and kneels in prayer in front of it, clasping his hands. He separates his hands and tears into the letter. The letter reads, "Your request for a motion to recall sentence and dismiss has been denied." Brian hangs his head, eyes closed. Words appear, 8 years earlier, Los Padrinos Juvenile Hall, Los Angeles.
Your assignment this week is to copy this and tape it to your cell wall where you can see it morning, noon, and night. This circle is your life. And the goal is to travel this circle until you get back to who you are. Now, most people never make it because of this.
An elderly man with curly white hair draws on a board.
In here are distractions. You gotta have more. You gotta make more. You gotta keep up with the Joneses. But you gentlemen have been given a gift. You've been removed from these distractions. You can't get more. You can't make more. Given the right perspective, prison can set you free, and your despair can become a doorway. Use that despair and never give up on what lives within you.
In the present, Brian touches a circle identical to the one drawn by the elderly man.
California Innocence Project.
Hi, this is Brian Banks. May I please speak to Alyssa Biracle?
It's Brian Banks again. You want to take it or you want me to?
No, I got it.
Okay.
Alyssa, in her 30s with long blonde hair and a female colleague, exit Justin's office.
Brian! Hey, I saw your habeas petition. You can't just put us down as your attorneys, Brian.
Look, I had to put somebody down just in case they gave me a hearing, which they're not going to do because...
Yeah, I know. They sent me a copy of this. I tried to tell you, you need some new evidence.
So help me find some. It's out there. It's got to be because I'm innocent.
I've had prisoners put together their own habeas petitions before. Never very good. But this is... Guys, I see you hiding out there. Why don't you just come on in?
The two women re-enter.
You sure you didn't have any help with this?
You didn't give me any, remember?
Right. Well, you got a real fan club up here, Brian. I'm gonna have a mutiny on my hands unless we do something. So Marilyn and Alyssa are gonna head up to Los Angeles, ask you a few questions, all right? Meanwhile, I don't want you to go outside county lines.
Does that mean you're taking on my case?
No, it doesn't mean that. In fact, I'm hesitant to even have this conversation with you for fear that I'm gonna get your hopes up. But if we have an inkling that we can help somebody out, we try and at least grant them an interview.
Alyssa smiles.
So you have an inkling?
No, I didn't say that.
You just did.
You definitely did.
No, I said if I have an inkling.
Inkling? A slight knowledge, hint, or suspicion. Middle English origin.
I read the dictionary twice when I was in prison,
Mr. Books.
We gotta go, Brian.
Justin hangs up.
Happy?
Come on, let's go.
Alyssa and a smiling Marilyn exit. Words appear, Los Angeles, California.
So, is it okay if we record you?
Absolutely.
Okay. Now we need you to walk us through the incident. Can you tell us what happened that day?
Alyssa and Marilyn watch Brian intently.
I just left history class. I was going to call this reporter.
Flashback to younger Brian.
This is Mike. Leave a message.
Hey, Mr. Paley, it's Brian Banks. Guess I'll just try you after school. Her name is Kenesha Rice.
Brian approaches a teenage girl.
I knew her from middle school, her and her sister, Ava.
Hey, Kenesha, what up? What you doing?
Bathroom.
Bathroom that way.
I was gonna go to the 700 building.
I mean, you want me to walk with you?
Okay.
The 700 building was across campus.
They enter the 700 building together.
It had this place where everybody went to make out. The whole school knew about it. That if you liked a girl, and a girl liked you, you always ended up there.
The young couple passed through a door together.
But it was tricky to get to. There was this long hallway, and you had to be really quiet.
They passed classes in session.
But if you made it through, you were on your own. Usually.
They rush down some stairs.
What are you trying to do, though? So.
Hiding behind a wall by a stairwell, Kenesha and Brian start kissing. He unzips her sweater, and she unzips his jeans. They quickly separate, startled by people at the top of the stairwell above them.
And then I was thinking, what are you doing? If we get caught, then I get kicked out of summer school, and I can mess up the whole football season. So when I heard the teacher, I stopped.
Back in the stairwell.
Hey, look, I ain't really feeling this no more, so... You go out that way, I'm gonna go out that door. Hi.
Kenesha watches him run off.
There's just so many things I could have said. I don't want you to get in trouble, or I just don't think this is special enough for a place.
Young Brian leaves Kenesha alone, wearing a pained expression.
But I was 16. I wasn't grown up enough.
Marilyn types as Alyssa gives a reassuring look.
Then, to be honest, I just went back to class and I forgot about it.
But she didn't forget.
Brian shakes his head, no.
She went back to math class. Was with her friend, Shayla.
Kenesha passes a note to Shayla, who reacts with wide eyes.
And that's where it all went wrong.
Kenesha enters the 700 building with police.
While she and her mom were with the police, I was at home.
Young Brian sleeps in his bedroom.
I still remember my dream.
During a game, Brian leaps and intercepts a pass.
It was that same feeling I had when I was a kid.
He holds the ball overhead as he runs, scoring a touchdown.
The feeling of being free.
Young Brian wakes up.
Don't move!
While still in bed, police handcuff him.
Wait a minute.
They drag him from the room. Officers hold his struggling mom back as Brian is forced out of the house. In a classroom.
Brian's problem is that he told the truth. Without legal counsel present, he admitted to being in the stairwell with Kenesha, and the DA determined there was probable cause.
2 months later, Brian was removed from juvenile court and tried as an adult. 2 counts of felony rape. And 1 count of sodomy with an enhanced circumstance of kidnapping.
His mother had to sell their house and their car to afford a new attorney.
According to the record, every time Kenesha told her story, it changed.
And how did he drag her down a hallway by a bunch of open classrooms without being noticed?
Exactly. Unfortunately, no one ever visited the hallway, not the attorneys, not the investigators.
And the DNA evidence?
It came back negative, which supports Brian's assertion they never had sex.
So why did he plea? Did you ask him?
Alyssa purses her lips. Brian sits in a courtroom. He watches members of the jury walk in while attorneys confer with the judge.
I'm sorry, folks. We need a 30-minute recess while I meet with counsel in chambers.
Brian's mom wears an anxious expression. In a room alone, Brian's head is in his hands. A dark-haired woman enters.
I got some good news. I worked out a deal with the DA.
They're gonna drop the charges?
Kidnapping and sodomy charges if you agree to plead no contest to 1 count of rape.
What's no contest?
It means you don't contest the charges. You don't plead guilty, you don't plead not guilty.
But I am not guilty.
Brian, I have seen this too many times. You admitted to some intimate contact, so it comes down to consent. Who's the jury gonna believe? And did you see all those white folks out there? All they see is a big black teenager accused of rape. And if any of them end up on the jury, they're going to find you guilty. But if you take this deal, you are almost guaranteed probation. And in 3 months' time, you could be back to your family, back to your life, back to playing football. You'd be free.
Brian stares off contemplatively.
Can I talk to my mom about this?
No, Brian. You've been charged as an adult, and you need to make this decision yourself. And they've only given us 10 minutes to decide.
10 minutes?
Then the deal is off the table. You need to decide now. You want to go home? Put this behind you? Or do you want to risk your whole life for something you didn't do? 10 minutes, Brian.
Brian's attorney leaves the room. He shakes his head. A clock above him reads 11:15.
So, Mr. Banks, it's my understanding that you wish to enter a plea. Is that correct?
Brian gives his attorney a confused look, and she nods. He mouths the word yes to confirm. Brian stands up.
Yes, sir.
Now, you understand that a plea of no contest has the same legal effect as a plea of guilty. That you will be required to register as a sex offender for the rest of your life. Do you understand that?
Brian looks to his mom, who trembles.
Mr. Banks, do you understand?
Brian looks at his attorney, who nods, yes.
Yes, sir.
Brian Keith Banks, in count one, that you committed the crime of forcible rape, a felony. How do you plead?
Brian's mom gasps.
No contest?
Flash forward to Brian being put into a police car.
Probation is denied.
Brian's mouth hangs open and his chest heaves.
Defendant is to be imprisoned for a total of 6 years, followed by 5 years of supervised parole.
No!
Wait,
6 years?
Brian and his mom address the stunned lawyer.
Brian,
Mrs. Ford, you were supposed to keep my son out of
prison.
You ain't say shit.
You ain't say nothing about seeing your mom. Mom.
Now you about to pay for raping my daughter.
Hold on. Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
My son is innocent. My son is innocent. My son is innocent.
In orange coveralls, Brian is led into a prison. Back in the classroom.
Really good job, you guys. You laid out the facts of the case really clearly. How does any of this help Brian?
What about the DNA?
I know. A lot of really bad stuff happened. Not to mention, he got questionable advice from his attorney.
But they had the DNA evidence, all right? And they didn't use it. We can't either, right? There's nothing new here, guys. Alyssa, Marilyn, I sent you guys up to LA to dig around. Did you find any new evidence that hasn't been submitted?
Okay, there was never a trial. So there have to be witnesses that weren't questioned. We can find them and talk to them.
And when are we going to do that? Are we going to take away time from cases we have a legitimate chance of winning?
The Johnson case is definitely going to push. I'll find the time.
I got spring break coming up. I can use my time to question a few people.
I've got time. I'm happy to help.
Me too.
I'll help.
I can.
I definitely.
Alyssa and Marilyn share a smile. Justin points at them with a half smile. A shirtless, lean, muscular Brian does pull-ups in his room. He grabs the phone.
This is Brian.
Hey, Brian, it's Alyssa. Do you have your 2002 yearbook by chance?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Do you think you can identify some of the students you went to summer school with?
Oh, yes, ma'am, right away.
Brian peruses a yearbook titled Long Beach Polytechnic 2002. He circles Tay Richardson, now a police officer interviewed by Alyssa and Marilyn.
What's up?
Hey, yo, Eli, what's up, man? It's B. Yeah, it's been a while, man.
Now they interview Eli. In the junior class of 2003, Brian excitedly underlines Shayla Jackson.
And then out of the blue, Kenesha says, well, just so you know, I wasn't even really raped. Only said that so my mom wouldn't find out I was getting with boys.
Shayla, would you be willing to put all of this in writing?
Yeah, that's great.
Brian walks into Floyd's gym and joins Corey in his dimly lit office.
I'm sorry, man.
Hey, you tried, man. You tried.
They clasp hands and pat each other. Out in the gym, Karina stacks weights.
Brian?
As Brian heads for the exit, Karina moves closer.
How'd it go with Corey? Did you get the job?
Actually, the owner said no. But Corey, no, he was great. Really went to bat for me.
Listen, I'm sorry about the other day.
It's fine. Look, there's no good way to tell a bad story, right? And no matter how I tell it, people are always gonna wonder if I'm telling the truth, so.
I'm not wondering anymore. Corey and I spoke, and I know now that you didn't deserve what happened to you.
Brian bites his lip, nodding.
You know, the other day, I hesitated when I told you I was an art major. It was because whenever I say it, people judge me. Brian, I judged you. And I am so sorry.
They lock eyes.
On football, we used to say, spend too much time thinking about the last play. You won't be ready for the next one.
A smile spreads across her face.
So you want to work out with me? First session's complimentary.
Brian gives a subtle smile and starts walking out.
Brian?
He glances back at her.
I'm not gonna work out in this. I'll be back in 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Don't lock me out.
An aerial view of Los Angeles houses and palm trees. Hands in his pockets, Brian enters a building. A sign inside reads, "The California Innocence Project at California Western School of Law presents the Exonerate Gala."
One more time, everybody now. Yo!
Justin and a man with dreadlocks wearing a thin-brimmed hat play guitars. Brian settles into the crowd. He eyes the scene with raised eyebrows and a quizzical look. Brian subtly nods to himself.
And while my heart's still beating, take me alive.
The dreadlocked man points at sheepishly smiling Justin.
Thank you all, and don't let my playing affect your donations.
Justin packs his guitar.
You're a man of many talents.
Hey.
Well, when I was younger, I wanted to be a rock star. If I could have sung worth a lick, I never would have gone to law school.
Well, lucky for me, you can't sing.
Was it that bad?
It's pretty bad.
They both smile.
So I'm guessing Alyssa told you how to find me tonight?
If I say yes, is she in trouble?
No. Alyssa's always in trouble. I happen to like that about her.
They stand at the coat check.
You got a little time before your curfew?
Yeah.
Okay.
At night, cars pass the 2nd Street Brewery. Inside, Justin and Brian play air hockey.
You love showing me.
I'm sorry. What happened? I think the table slanted.
Come ready.
I can respect it.
Brian scores multiple times.
That's it? You giving up?
I'm out of money.
At the bar.
Hope you're happy.
Be happy when you represent me.
Brian, I want to help you. I do. And in a perfect world, you and I would just waltz into the court, you tell them what Shayla said, and they'd reopen your case. But that is not the world we live in. The system is broken. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It just doesn't care.
I'm just supposed to accept that? That the system is broken? Well, you know what I say to that? Fuck the system.
Justin sips a beer.
No, for real, man. I mean, why can't we at least try? What is the system? It's people. Yeah, it's cops, lawyers, judges. If one of them had just cared enough to even go down to that hallway Kenesha said I dragged her, listen to how the tiniest little noise echoes, I wouldn't have this damn thing on my leg. Mr. Brooks.
Justin.
I know the system doesn't care about me. I've known that my whole life. The question is, do you?
Justin sits back, considering. Later, they ride in Justin's SUV.
I carry 3 pictures in my wallet. My wife.
He shows a photo.
My kids, and that one right there. That's her on the left. My longest standing client, Marilyn Malero. One day I'm looking through the newspaper and I see that Marilyn gets the death penalty on a plea bargain. I'm wondering, how's that even possible? To get death on a plea. Where's the bargain? So I look into it. Sure enough, this woman here, she's the one who pulled the trigger. So I find a couple witnesses. I find a mountain of evidence. And I lose 18 years with new evidence. Marilyn's still behind bars. She's the reason I started the CIP, and I'm not giving up until she's free.
Justin parks his SUV in front of an apartment building.
So, yeah, I can be a little jaded, but every once in a while, we win. And it's amazing to see an innocent person go free. And we do it because we bust our asses and we know what the system wants. Something extraordinary. You want me to be your lawyer, Brian? We've already looked at your case, talked to potential witnesses. I even called the parole board about shortening your time. The well is dry. So let me tell you what I need to argue your case. Not some piece of hearsay evidence from 10 years ago. I need something big. Earth-shattering. Extraordinary.
Brian glances down with a solemn expression.
Sorry.
Brian nods and hands Justin the photograph. Brian gets out of the car and waves to him. Justin responds with a subtle nod. Justin drives away, leaving Brian standing alone on the sidewalk. Wearing a baseball cap, Justin enters a hallway in Building 700. He walks, glancing into empty classrooms. He continues down the daylit, unpopulated hallway. Back at his office, Alyssa enters and stands near his acoustic guitar hanging on the wall near the door.
Just a reminder, you do have a family.
Going soon.
What is that?
She approaches his desk.
This is the hallway Brian supposedly dragged that girl down. All the doors were open. I checked the school records. Classrooms were full of kids. 10 separate classrooms. No way nobody didn't hear something. Which gets rid of the kidnapping charge right there.
But that's still not enough to reopen the case, is it?
No, it's not.
She sits across from him.
I don't understand, Justin.
No, it's something Brian said. It was, we all know the system's broken.
Which is why you started this place.
I know, but I just don't want to ever stop trying because the system has conditioned us to stop trying.
Go home.
He smiles, glancing away.
Come on. You visited this hallway. Go visit your family.
They both stand. Brian browses the internet while his mom cooks.
Since when did you become interested in art museums?
You remember that trainer I told you about, Karina?
So she's an artist?
She smiles.
Yeah, she just sent me this. Check it out.
She walks into the dining room, joining him at his laptop.
Baby, she painted this?
Yep.
They view a painting of Brian.
So you want to take her to the museum?
Just to thank her for all the free training sessions. But there's some special exhibit going on right now, and the ticket prices are crazy.
Get the tickets, baby.
She holds money.
Oh, man, come on. Look, I know things are tight right now. I mean, barely made the car payment last month.
The car payment can wait. Your happiness can't.
Brian stares up at her as she gently but firmly places the bills into his palm. He wraps his fingers around her hand.
Brian, you deserve happiness. Not shame, not guilt. Happiness.
Brian stands and embraces her.
Thanks.
You say I'll make you shy.
Brian and Karina walk into an art gallery and he excitedly presents their tickets. Brian points up as they walk past a colorful hanging display. Wearing broad smiles, they both point out different features of the abstract art. Now they lie close to one another inside an exhibit, watching a video, talking, and smiling. They approach a massive white wall covered in black ink drawings. Brian stops and stares, and Karina joins him.
What is it?
Reminds me of something someone taught me once.
A section of the art installment consists of black circles and lines on a white background. Brian looks at his phone.
I gotta take this. I'll be right back.
He moves away from Karina.
This is Brian.
What the hell are you doing, Banks?
2,000 feet, remember?
A what?
Look out the window. Look out the goddamn window.
He spots a sign that reads Fairfax Park.
Does it look like 2,000 feet? Get out of there. Now.
The parole officer tosses his phone onto his desk. At the museum, Brian shifts his weight and paces, glancing up at Karina, who views the art wall with her back to him. Wearing a frown, he returns to Karina.
Is everything okay?
I can't be here.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I should have checked. I just got so excited with the art, you know. But hey, I got a chance to see your kind of art, right? Would you mind if I showed you mine?
She smiles and nods.
Okay.
Let's go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's hard to breathe.
They enter an empty football stadium.
Wow. Ryan, this is some canvas.
I remember going to my first USC game when I was 15. I went with my mom and my brother, Brandon. So I was sitting right up there, section 6, seat 14. The best part wasn't even the game. The best part was just watching my mom be so happy because I was so happy.
Karina smiles as they walk.
Hey, I'm sorry about today, Karina. I didn't even know what it meant when I took that plea. All I knew was that I just didn't want to spend the rest of my life in jail.
My cousin went to prison.
They stopped walking.
And when he came out, he just wasn't the same. And you were what, 16?
How did you survive it?
Almost did. Especially in the beginning. Then I met a man who showed me a different way. And everything changed.
Brian flashes back.
Two men look out from prison bars. One saw mud, the other the stars. Perspective, gentlemen. Perspective is the key to how one fares in life.
The elderly, white-haired man approaches Brian.
Mr. Banks, what do you think?
I don't think none of this should apply to me.
Then you need this class more than most. Thank you, gentlemen.
Brian's eyes linger on the elderly man as the other men exit the prison classroom. Brian stands and heads for the door.
Mr. Banks. Brian.
The man puts his hand on Brian's shoulder, stopping him.
I know you think football is a pathway to happiness, but on my life, son, I promise you that it is not. The path to happiness begins and ends in the mind. Free your mind, Brian, and your ass will follow.
Brian's expression remains cold.
Before him, all I could think was, why me?
In a prison cell, Brian punches a TV showing a football game. An officer lets the white-haired teacher into the cell, then stands near the open door. Brian avoids eye contact as the man takes a seat next to him on the bed.
All right, look. I don't know exactly what it is you're going through, but you've got to let it go, or it's going to pull you down. How you got here may be wrong, but the fact is, you are here. And before you leave this place physically, you must leave it mentally. Or you'll be back.
They look at each other earnestly. The elderly man wears earrings that reflect the dim light in the cell. The man rises and faces Brian.
This is for you.
He holds out a book titled, As a Man Thinketh.
I might give you more books from time to time. Books I hope you'll read.
Brian looks up at the man, who holds his gaze for a moment, then exits. Brian opens the book to find an inscription from Jerome Johnson. It reads, "All you can control in life is how you respond to life." Back with Karina.
I wish I could say I got it from the start, but I was scared. Scared my life was over. Then this dude doesn't know nothing about me. He's talking about helping me. Was this the kind of help that my lawyer gave me? So yeah, I was skeptical.
Brian and Karina now sit.
And right when I'm trying to understand everything he's teaching me, I get transferred. Didn't see him again. And that's when prison had its own ideas.
Words appear. California Men's Colony, San Luis Obispo, California. Brian pushes a laundry cart through a door and witnesses a prisoner with long black hair stabbing someone who lies face down on the floor. The long-haired man stares at Brian, then hastily exits with several other prisoners. Later, in a bathroom, Brian flushes a urinal, then walks to a sink and washes his hands. The long-haired prisoner enters and approaches him. Brian spots him and straightens at the sink.
What's up, homie? You got a problem, bitch?
No, I ain't got no problem.
B-87. Gates open.
A stone-faced Brian watches the threatening man walk away.
In prison, it's the not knowing that gets to you. Not knowing what's on the other side of a door. Not knowing if you'll make it out alive.
Brian wraps a sock around his knuckles and exits his cell. He passes prisoners and enters the long-haired man's cell.
What's up, homie?
Brian punches him.
Sometimes you gotta walk deeper into the darkness to find the light.
Hey, Banks, get up. Let's go. Up! Now! You broke his jaw, Banks! Don't you ever want to get out of here? 60 days. Think about it.
That was solitary for me.
Brian is locked in a bare, unlit cell alone. At the stadium, they both stare off pensively. Flashback. From a high window, morning sunlight creeps into Brian's solitary confinement cell as he stirs awake on his small bed. Now he does sit-ups on his bed. At night, he does push-ups on the floor. He sits at the end of his bed, hands clasped and elbows on his knees.
I don't even feel you no more, guy. I can't feel you.
Brian shuffles around, pacing his dark cell. Kanisha Rice appears next to him, then disappears. Brian bumps his head against the wall repeatedly.
Brian, we need you back in the game.
His coach appears and disappears. Lying on the floor, Brian flicks a piece of debris with his finger and holds up his arms like a football goalpost.
Hey, you think they give a shit about you?
By how twisted up and pissed off you are. Don't even remember your name. Shit.
Brian lunges at a hallucination of himself and punches the pillow. He bashes his fists into the floor. A hand touches Brian's shoulder.
Brian.
Brian looks back, seeing Jerome.
You've got to let it go. You've got to let it all go. Or it's going to pull you down. All you can control in life.
This is for you.
Flashback. Brian is handed the book as a man thinketh. He turns to the inscription.
That's how you respond to life.
Jerome disappears from the cell. Brian looks down at his hands with wet, glistening eyes. On his knees, he looks up at a light coming through the high, narrow window. His face is illuminated, and he beams. Guards open his cell door. Brian sits proudly on his bed, sheets neatly folded.
It's strange. I didn't see Mr. Johnson after that first year in Juvie. He's been with me every day since.
At the stadium, Karina nods, listening intently to Brian's story.
Listen, I want to be honest with you. I told you I put off grad school. But I didn't say why. Why I reacted when I heard your story. I didn't have the best experience in college.
Karina starts to cry and averts her eyes.
Who was he?
Your friend. I thought. He said he couldn't remember me saying no. Said I could have gotten those bruises from anywhere. The cops were like, sure you're not overreacting. And when the school did nothing, I left.
I'm sorry. I don't even know how you could hang with me after hearing my story.
Well, I couldn't at first. Then I got to know you.
Karina takes Brian's hand in her own. They gaze lovingly at each other. He wipes a tear from her cheek. Brian puts his arms around her and strokes her shoulder comfortingly, with the huge empty stadium surrounding them. At home, Brian types on his laptop at the dining table. He scrolls through a list of jobs.
No, can't do that. Can't do that.
Brian leans back and a message from Karina pops up. How's the job hunting? Brian smiles and types, nothing yet. You? She replies, picked up grad application. Baby steps. See you soon. Brian smiles. He looks at a TV in the living room where a football game is on. He watches a coach call out to a player and slap his hand. He searches for Pete Carroll on Facebook. Carroll's employment comes up at Seattle Seahawks. Brian watches Carroll on the TV until a Facebook alert pops up on his laptop. He receives a friend request from Kenesha Rice. Brian slams his laptop closed and jumps up from the table. He paces around the room, staring at the closed laptop. He opens the laptop and frantically types. He writes, "Why would you contact me?" She responds, "I was hoping we could let bygones be bygones. I was immature back in the day, but I can assure you I am mature now." Brian takes a big step back from the laptop. He puts his hands to his head and paces. Brian stares at the Facebook message, frowning. Now calmer, he approaches the screen. He types, "Would you mind calling me on this number?" Brian's phone lies on a small table near him. He watches it vibrate. He collects himself, closing his eyes. With trepidation, he puts the phone to his ear.
Hello?
Hello?
Kenesha?
Hey.
His jaw tenses.
Hey. So, I guess I'm still wondering why you send me a friend request like that.
Yeah, I wasn't even sure you would answer. So I was just looking through people I know from high school. I saw your page, and I was like, you look good. But I was thinking maybe we could, I don't know. Hang out or something?
Hang out? Can you understand why that might seem a little weird to me that you'd want to do that?
I was in prison. I can't work. I can't play football.
Things have been pretty tough for me, Kenesha.
So, I guess that means you ain't trying to hang out then?
Well, maybe we could.
Yeah, maybe we could.
Truth is, I'm just stuck. And you're the only one who can help me get unstuck.
I mean, you're the only other one who knows what really happened. And if you did help me, then we would never have to talk about this stuff again.
All right, well, what is it you need me to do?
Later, Brian's mom stands nearby as he dresses, getting ready to meet Kenesha.
Brian, if they find out you went anywhere near that girl, they'll send you right back to prison.
That's why nobody's gonna find out.
Okay, please, let's think about this some more. You only have 10 months left on your parole.
I'm still gonna be on that damn list. Right, nobody's gonna ever hire me if I don't clear my name.
Well, then let the attorneys handle this.
What attorneys, ma? Who? The CIP? I ain't heard from them in weeks. Besides, Kenesha already said she ain't going nowhere near a lawyer. The only person she agreed to talk to was Corey's friend. You remember Corey from the gym? So look, he's got a friend. Been selling insurance for a little bit, but he's starting up his own PI firm, right? So we all got together, we got a plan. Trust me, we got a plan.
An insurance agent, Brian?
Mom. Sometimes things come your way and you have to act on them right then and there, or else you won't have another chance.
She stares, frowning.
This is my chance.
Brian removes his reassuring hands from her shoulders and leaves. In an office, Brian stands by as a suited man situates a small camera in a plant and reviews documents. The suited man walks to the window and spots Kenesha approaching.
Brian.
Brian goes to the window and gives a confirming nod. Now Brian stands by a reception desk. Elevator doors open and Kenesha steps out.
Hey. I wasn't sure if this is the right place.
You found it.
I was nervous about coming.
Yeah, shit, I've been kind of nervous myself.
Did I tell you I got three little ones now?
Oh, you got three kids?
Yeah, but it's some drama going on with all that, so that's why I told you I don't want to talk to no lawyers.
Oh, nah, this guy's not, it's not a lawyer. He's more like an advisor, so.
A nameplate reads Arthur Horton, insurance broker.
So, Miss Reed, Rice. Oh, I'm sorry, Miss Rice. I understand from Brian there are some things that you guys wanted to discuss.
Yeah, we wanted to talk to you about what happened in 2002.
Okay. Miss Rice, is that what you want to do?
I guess so. I mean, Brian ain't playing in the NFL right now. I guess that's because of me.
So you want to help him?
Well, I can't do nothing where I gotta, like, pay back none of the money or anything. I mean, that would take a long time.
Okay, and I understand. Look, this is just for my own education so that I can offer advice. Now, take me back to the incident in 2002. And just tell me how you see it.
A hidden camera sits under Arthur's notepad.
Well, I guess the way I look at it is we was just being young, curious about things.
Okay, so you're saying that he never raped you?
I don't like using that word.
Well, then tell me what happened.
Well, after we was down there and he went out the door and I went my way, there was this security guard.
Hey!
Flashback.
You know I saw you. With that boy. Y'all went in the 700 building, didn't you? I know what you kids do in there.
Yeah, well, it wasn't my idea.
Whose was it?
His.
Oh, so you saying he made you go in there? Made you do stuff?
Young Kenesha nods.
So if that's true, you're saying he raped you. Is that what you're saying?
So I wasn't the first person to use that word.
So the security guard said it first. And then you wrote it down on a piece of paper and gave it to your friend?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, did you tell any of these people that you and Brian were just kissing and heavy petting and that you didn't actually have sex?
Nobody was listening to anything I had to say. I mean, my attorney was like, just don't say nothing. Like, don't talk at all. Just let them do what they're gonna do.
Okay, so to be clear, Brian never raped you.
Kenesha pauses, staring at Arthur, and Brian bites his lip.
No, he did not rape me.
Brian looks up and Arthur clasps his hands.
Did he kidnap you?
Never.
Brian nods with certainty and looks at Arthur. Elsewhere, Alyssa pages through a file.
Alyssa.
Brian holds a laptop and Alyssa wears a stunned expression in the classroom.
To be clear, Brian never raped you.
No, he did not rape me.
Did he kidnap you?
Never.
Justin's students view the recording. Brian turns it off and looks intently at Justin.
Amazing. A full recantation on tape.
Justin gives an incredulous smile.
So, and she knew, right? This guy told her she was being taped.
No, but he did have a sign on the wall that said the room was being monitored.
Marilyn, Alyssa, and Justin's faces drop.
A sign on the wall. That's it?
Brian's eyes dart around.
Justin. This is what you said. I needed something extraordinary. This is what I brought you. Kenesha telling the truth. She's telling the truth.
It's amazing, Brian. It really is. I've never seen anything like it. But it's also...
It's inadmissible.
Justin shakes his head, frowning.
You can't use it. You can't record somebody in the state of California without their explicit consent.
Come on. We gotta sit in there right on tape telling the truth. You telling me I can't show anybody?
What do you think the chances are of getting her to say it again on the record?
No chance. P.I. already scared her off by trying to get her to sign something at the end.
And once she knows she perjured herself and could lose the money, she's gonna recant her recantation.
Yeah.
Brian, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I wish you'd have called us before you reached out.
You wish I would have called you? You wish I would have called you? You know why I didn't call you, Justin? Because every time I throw you a pass, you bat it down, just like you're doing now.
That's not what we're doing.
Come at me with all these legal excuses about the system, about how the truth doesn't matter. The truth matters!
I know it matters. I know that, okay? And that tape is extraordinary. I agree, but I can't do anything legally.
Okay,
with...
okay, stop. Okay? You know what, man? You know, forget the tape, okay?
Brian throws the remote on the floor and stares earnestly at Justin.
You want extraordinary? I'll tell you what's extraordinary about this case. I am.
Justin stares at Brian.
It's extraordinary that I'm still here. That I'm still standing. You ever been to prison? And I'm not talking about to visit one of your clients. You ever been locked up? I spent my 17th birthday and the 60 days after that in solitary confinement. It nearly killed me. And the only reason it didn't is because something happened to me. Something extraordinary. Someone extraordinary.
Justin wears a pained expression. Brian's chest heaves. Justin nods.
I've done everything I can on my own to get myself free. There's only one other person who can get me the rest of the way, and that's you. So I'm begging you. Forget all the rules. Forget all the reasons. Forget all the roadblocks they put in our way. I know the system doesn't care about me, Justin. I know. But I know you do.
Brian and Justin lock eyes.
Help set me free.
As tears run down Brian's face, Justin reacts with a solemn nod.
Okay.
Okay.
Brian glances at Alyssa, who smiles.
Okay.
Marilyn smiles at Brian and he nods. Later, Justin addresses his students.
Okay.
Brian Banks lost 10 years of his life. We have 10 months to clear his name. Why?
Because the habeas petition will only be considered while you're still under state supervision.
That's right. If we can't get this thing overturned within 10 months before his parole runs out, he's guilty the rest of his life. 99% of all habeas petitions get rejected, so just getting the DA to pay attention to this is gonna be tough. Hey, Barbara.
Justin Brooks again. Hey, is Raphael in?
I'll have to get back to you, Mr. Brooks.
All right, as soon as he can, please. Thank you. So while I'm trying to force him to pay attention, Alyssa will put together a new petition. While Marilyn, you try to track down Kenesha Rice and get her on the record this time. Now just remember, and this is critical, if the court doesn't schedule us ASAP, Brian's gonna run out of time. Brian's the same age as some of you. He should have gone to college by now. He should be playing in the NFL.
Hey, we found Mateo. He's on the Lawler case, LA Superior.
And the reason he isn't is not just because a girl lied.
Brian trains with Karina.
It's because the system didn't care about the truth in the first place. Well, in the words of somebody I greatly admire, fuck the system.
Justin's students applaud. At the gym, Brian high-fives Karina.
It was a good day.
In a court hallway.
Well, if it isn't our elusive district attorney.
Mr. Brooks.
How you doing, Raphael? I've been looking for you.
Aren't we seeing each other for Leftovich in 3 weeks?
This can't wait 3 weeks. I'm representing Brian Banks. Falsely accused of rape. The girls recanted her story. We got it all on tape.
And let me guess, you want me to take a look at it?
I want you to meet Brian Banks. He's an amazing kid. Could have played pro ball. I'm telling you, Raphael, this is going to blow up. Media's going to be all over it. Chance for you to jump in and control the spin.
And you are the master spinner, aren't you, Mr. Brooks?
Well, I'm a lawyer, so it's redundant.
Raphael remains stone-faced.
Come on, Raphael. Kid's different.
Raphael nods.
Have your client here in 90 minutes. Otherwise, he waits in line like everyone else.
Justin nods a firm yes. At Brian's, he grabs his phone off a coffee table.
Hey, Justin.
You got a jacket and a tie?
Later, Brian wears a tie.
Look okay?
Ain't nothing okay about the way you look. Now go.
She hands him car keys and he runs out of the house.
Please do not tell me this is another bad decision. I'm gonna start calling you bad decision banks.
But I have a job interview, sir.
Oh, yeah? Like the one in San Diego when you were meeting with that lawyer?
Brian's eyes widen.
I got my sources. Give me the keys, Banks.
Sir,
Give me the goddamn keys, Banks.
He gives his parole officer the keys.
Yeah, I got him.
At the courthouse.
Where's your guy?
Hey! Yeah, he's coming. He's just... Let me get you a cup of coffee.
Nice try, Mr. Brooks. Time's up.
Nobody from the DA's office ever visited the crime scene. I did. I saw where this girl claimed she was dragged down a hallway lined with open classrooms full of students and forcibly raped. Nobody saw it, nobody heard it. Hey, you think the press is gonna wonder why you and your investigators never checked this place out?
Officers search the car.
So this is my mom's car. My mom. There aren't any drugs in there, I swear.
Good. So you have nothing to worry about. Now, why are you going to L.A.? You know you can't take a job outside the district.
The job's local. Corporate headquarters are in L.A.
Car's clean. Better not be lying to me, Banks.
He gives Brian the keys.
Straight there, straight back. Because if you so much as pull over to piss, you'd be back behind bars.
Brian eyes him as the parole officer walks away, then pulls out his phone.
Where are you?
You know, I'm on my way. My PO is busting my ass. I'll be there.
Brian speeds off in his mom's car, then runs up the courthouse steps. Inside, he rushes to Justin, who waits in the hall.
Hey, sorry, man.
Save it for the DA. Mateo's in a mood.
They walk quickly as Brian pulls on his suit coat. Elsewhere, the DA, Raphael, leafs through paperwork.
Mr. Brooks says you filed the habeas petition yourself.
Yes, sir. Read the California Appeals Code while I was in prison.
Raphael studies Brian across a table.
Why do you think she lied, Mr. Banks? She was a 15-year-old girl with her whole life ahead of her. Why would she lie?
I've asked myself that 1,000 times. Maybe it was the money. Maybe I hurt her feelings. But all due respect, sir, I don't know why it's my responsibility to explain why she lied. The fact is, she did. Her testimony changed every time. Mine never did. Mr. Mateo, I don't wish any ill will towards Kenesha. I just want a chance to turn all of this negativity into something positive.
Raphael glances thoughtfully from Brian to Justin.
Has she gone on the record?
No. We're kind of having a hard time tracking her down.
Well, I need to speak with her. I won't recommend reversing any conviction until I interview the victim myself.
Brian wears a serious expression. Later, he and Justin exit the courthouse.
Tell me we're getting close.
Absolutely. You did great in there. You just got to get her to show up.
What does that mean?
It's not going to be easy. If the state finds out she lied, she could lose the whole settlement, the 1.5.
Well, Kenesha doesn't know that. And ain't no way she told her mom she flipped.
I know. But I've seen this sort of thing before. Witnesses, they stay hidden unless...
Unless...
No, Brian, you can't.
I can't what?
They face each other on the sidewalk.
I've gone to reporters before to help me find a witness or get them to talk. Sometimes when you go public, people want to defend themselves.
And that's what we do.
Listen to me, Brian. Your PO finds out that you contacted Kenesha, you could go right back to jail.
Brian nods.
I told you, I'm already in jail.
He walks away from Justin. At home, Brian holds his phone, glancing down at a business card.
This is Mike.
Hey, Mr. Paley. This is Brian Banks.
26-year-old Brian Banks, who once had dreams of the NFL, is now fighting to clear his name. His football dreams ended at the age of 16 when he was accused of a crime he claims he didn't commit.
To be clear, Brian never raped you.
No, he did not rape me.
A group of reporters rush to Brian as he exits a building.
Brian, is the district attorney reopening the case?
Any more word from Kenesha?
You think you'll get another shot at the NFL?
Hey, first I gotta get my day in court. All
right. He walks, pulling out his phone and leaving the reporters behind.
Yeah.
It worked, Brian.
The mother surfaced. She called the district attorney's office, had a whole shit fit.
Okay.
So Mateo issued a subpoena. He threatened to call the school district, turn over all the evidence unless they show. So now we're close, Brian. We're really close.
Okay, thanks, Justin.
Brian gets into his car. He smiles to himself. Looking at his phone, his smile fades and his head drops.
Contacting the victim, recording her without her consent, lying to your PO about job interviews, that's three strikes, right there.
Now look, I know you saw it, and you heard her say I didn't do it, because I didn't do it. Now if someone put that on you, you would have done the same thing.
Wrong. Don't tell me what I do, Banks. You and I ain't the same. Do you even know what the word credibility means? You have no credibility when you lie to me to prove that someone lied about you. That is in direct violation of your parole under the law. Do you hear me? Do you hear me?
Brian stares daggers at him.
Yes, sir, I hear you.
The PO clasps his hands, elbows on his desk.
It is my duty to report your violations. And I plan to obey that duty.
They lock eyes.
In time.
Brian straightens in his chair.
Law says I have to report it and just doesn't say when. I'm gonna give you 8 weeks till your parole is up. If in that time they do not overturn your conviction, you won't just be a registered sex offender. You'll be a prisoner again.
Brian gives a subtle nod. Words appear. 6 weeks later, Long Beach Superior Court. Outside, people enter and exit the courthouse. In the courtroom, Brian glances impatiently at the door while his mom and Karina wear nervous expressions. Justin pages through documents, and the DA, Raphael, checks his watch.
Mr. Brooks, where is this witness?
Justin stands.
Your Honor, we respectfully ask the court to just indulge us with a little more time.
She's half an hour late. You think this is the only hearing on the docket? Issue another subpoena and reschedule the hearing. Adjourn.
Raphael stands. Brian lowers his head, his body sinking into his chair.
Come on, Raphael, can't you work with me a little bit? I mean, there's no time for another hearing. Brian's parole is gonna run out. Then it's over. He's done. You know that.
I need a statement from the complainant on the record. A statement that cast doubt on her original testimony. Now you know that.
Kanisha's mom enters, scans the courtroom, then hastily exits.
Justin, that's her mom. That's her.
Justin and Raphael race after her.
Miss Rice?
Kanisha is in the hallway holding a toddler.
Now who the hell are y'all?
I'm District Attorney Rafael Mateo, ma'am. You're in the right place. Are you Kanisha?
Yeah, that's her. Look, the only reason why we came down here is to clear up all this bullshit.
Well, we want to clear this up too, ma'am. So maybe we can all sit down and have a talk.
They all enter a private room where a blonde female stenographer prepares.
So, Kanisha, this won't take long. We just want to ask you a few
this
questions.
This all you need to know. That boy out there, he raped my daughter. End of story. All that other shit on TV, he forced her to say. He offered her $10,000.
Kanisha, you told our investigator that Brian offered you $20,000.
Mama, can you take him out of here, please? Just say what you said the first time in court. Come on.
Kanisha's mom leaves the room carrying the toddler. She enters a hallway where Brian, his mom, and Karina are waiting. She gives Brian's mom an aggressive stare. Brian puts reassuring arms around his mom.
So I'm not gonna answer none of y'all stupid questions.
Miss Rice, I just need
I said I'm not answering them.
Raphael averts his eyes from her.
What if I make my best effort to not ask any stupid questions?
They're all stupid if you ask me.
Well, my name's Justin Brooks, and I run the California Innocence Project. We get thousands of requests every year for people to represent them. And Kanisha, if Brian Banks raped you, I don't want to represent him.
He did rape me.
Okay. Well, if you can just get me to accept that and clear up a few of these inconsistencies, we can all move on here, okay? I just want to talk to you briefly about the incident in July of 2002.
She rolls her eyes.
When you went into that stairwell with Brian, what did you think was going to happen?
I don't know. I was young at the time.
Right. At the top of the stairwell, there are classrooms. School was in session.
Mm-hmm.
So why didn't you just shout out to anybody?
Because I didn't know he was going to do it. When we first went down there, I thought he was just going to touch, you know, touchy-feely.
Justin nods and glances at Raphael.
So, Ms. Rice, are you saying that you initially went down there willingly?
No. You putting words in my mouth.
You just said, when we first went down there, I thought it was going to be touchy-feely. You didn't say that he forced or dragged you.
There you go again with them stupid questions. Brian know he did it. If he was so innocent, he would have took it to trial and won.
Kanisha, don't you think anybody's ever been coerced into taking a plea before? I mean, maybe Brian just felt trapped. But listen, we all make mistakes, especially when we're young. We say things we regret.
She raises her chin indignantly.
Isn't it possible that maybe you said some things back then that you didn't mean?
Her expression softens.
Kanisha, did Brian ever coerce you or pay you to talk to him?
She gently shakes her head.
He ain't got no money.
Right. So you reached out to him on your Facebook page yourself to help him, right? It was nice. Because you know you didn't have sex with him in that stairwell.
She looks up at him with watery eyes.
You know that. You guys went down there to make out, and Brian, you know, he may have embarrassed you a little bit that day, right? Maybe because he didn't want to go through with it.
She looks into Justin's eyes.
I understand, and you liked him.
She breaks eye contact with him.
You liked him a lot. It's okay.
Justin looks at her with compassion in his eyes.
Kanisha, what you said on the tape the other day, if it's true, Brian can get his life back. You can help him get a job. He can move on with his life.
What the hell's taking so long in here? Oh, did you tell him the truth this time? Or they got you in here making up some other story?
Kanisha glares at Justin.
What about my life? I go on with my life. Can I get my virginity back?
Miss Rice, I just need
you. I ain't talking to you no more. You a smart ass.
Just let's take a break and we'll just come back here.
I'm not coming back. I'm never coming back. I'm done talking to y'all. I'm done. I'm not talking no more.
Miss Rice.
No.
We have
you heard her. Talking's over. Let's go.
Kanisha and her mom exit.
She admitted it was consensual.
She said it started consensually.
Which eliminates the kidnapping charge. You said you needed something on the record that would cast doubt on her original testimony. Didn't you just get that?
All I can do is recommend that the same judge who put Brian away overturn this, and you know the chances of that.
Don't let that stop you.
Brian's mom appears in the doorway.
Do you have a child, Mr. Mateo?
She steps closer to the DA.
Can you imagine what it's like seeing that child, that innocent child, taken from you and locked away with men who've done real crimes and can do real harm to him? All a mother ever wants is to protect her children. And I was never able to do that for my boy. Or go to my grave feeling the pain of that past. But you can do something today, Mr. Mateo, to stop the pain of his future. Now that judge, he will listen to you. You know he will. If you believe in your heart that what was done to my son was wrong.
Justin watches Raphael, who swallows hard, staring at her tear-streaked face. Journalists flock outside the courthouse. Justin and Brian, with his arm draped around his mom, pass through the crowd, up the courthouse stairs, in the courtroom.
All rise.
The attendees all stand. Brian is flanked by Alyssa and Justin.
You seated? Okay, People versus Banks. Before me, petition for writ of habeas corpus, petition of error coram nobis to overturn the original judgment. So, do the petitioners wish to say anything?
Yes, thank you, Your Honor.
Justin stands and glances at Brian, who bobs his head nervously.
Brian Banks was 16 years old when he was accused of a crime he did not commit. He lost 11 years of his young life, a scholarship. He was prevented from playing football, a game that he loves. And I think we have to ask why. Was it the system that failed him? Nobody has been more critical of this system than I have. But I've come to realize maybe it's not the system, maybe it's us. All of us. Maybe it's me. Yes, we have laws, but those laws can be interpreted. There is just enough flexibility to allow for some amount of choice. And with that choice comes the power to do right, to choose justice over expediency and the truth over a technicality. And the truth is, Brian Banks is innocent.
Brian lifts his look toward the judge.
11 years, Your Honor. 11 years my client will never get back. 11 years his family has had to suffer. 11 years of dreams deferred.
Justin shakes his head.
And we can fix it. We can rectify it all here today. You know, most of the time, I'm just trying to get my client their lives back. In Brian Banks' case, we have a chance to give him his dreams back.
Justin looks at the judge with pleading eyes.
Please don't deny him that chance. Thank you.
Justin sits.
And the people?
Raphael glances back at Brian's mom and Karina sitting next to her. He stands and buttons his jacket, with a line of journalists aiming cameras at him.
The people will concede the matter, Your Honor, and ask the court to grant the petition for exoneration.
Brian lifts his head, watching intently as the judge and Raphael exchange a subtle nod. Justin remains still, his eyes fixed on the judge. Brian bites his lip and looks over at his mom. She nods reassuringly. His head moves up and down, subtly, in a nervous, nodding motion. Montage: Brian praying as a young boy, playing football in high school, flicking debris with his finger in his cell, and Jerome's hand on his shoulder in class. While waiting for the verdict, Brian's mom puts her hand around her cross pendant. She flashes back to receiving Brian's college acceptance and hugging him. Brian and the judge stare intently at one another. The judge nods.
All right, then. The petition is granted.
Brian's jaw drops open and his eyes widen. Justin puts his hand over his mouth as Brian drops his head. His mom cries and hugs Karina. Justin and Alyssa pat Brian on the back. He holds the bridge of his nose, shaking his head. Marilyn smiles broadly. Brian lifts his head, his face wet with tears.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for not giving up, making sure I didn't either.
Justin pats Brian's back. He shakes the DA's hand.
Well done, Brooks.
Thank you.
Brian's mom hugs him joyfully. Outside the courthouse, a crowd and journalists gather as Justin raises Brian's arm in victory.
Brian, tell us how you're feeling. Do you plan to
sue? Are you angry at the situation?
No, at some point, you gotta let all that go. All I ever wanted was my freedom. And we got that here today.
Justin hands Brian scissors and he removes the monitor from his ankle. He raises it in the air to the cheering audience. Brian spots his parole officer standing below, arms crossed, leaning on a car. They exchange a nod. Brian wraps his arms tightly around his mother. Elsewhere, Brian walks along a sidewalk. He enters a park where a sign reads Hillside Park, City of Long Beach. Smiling, he puts his hand on the sign as he passes it. His fingers rest on a chain-link fence where some children play football on the other side. Brian peers through the fence, watching the kids play. Smiling, he digs his phone out of his shorts pocket.
Hello?
Hey, I'm looking for a linebacker. Know where I might find any?
A man in a Seahawks sweatshirt holds a phone.
Coach Carroll.
It was good to see you on TV the other day. How are you, old friend?
Oh, top of the world, Coach. How you doing?
Doing pretty well up here in Seattle. I'm so sorry you had to go to hell and back, Brian, but wanted to ask you. Think you may want to come up here and try out for the Seahawks?
Brian's smile turns to a serious expression.
Oh, most definitely, Coach. Most definitely.
All right. I need you on the plane first thing Monday morning.
Yeah. Nice.
Brian hangs up the phone and a football rolls on the grass in front of him. He picks it up, gazing at the ball as the group of children approach him.
Y'all trying to play? Yeah. All right, line up. Let's see something.
Yeah. They tried to bring me down.
Brian plays football with them, tackling playfully, then lifts the child onto his shoulder and runs across the field. Words appear. In the summer of 2012, 27-year-old Brian attended the Seattle Seahawks minicamp. Although Coach Pete Carroll was impressed with Brian's abilities, his 11-year absence from football had taken a toll. He did not make the cut. With the kids, Brian raises the ball in the air, then again as a professional player. Brian tried out with several other NFL teams. No team signed him for an entire year. And with Justin's support, Brian continued to train. The following summer, Brian was asked to participate in the Atlanta Falcons off-season workouts. In August 2013, Brian joined the team as a middle linebacker. In a locker room, players wearing Falcon uniforms dress and prep for a game. Brian kneels by a window and looks up into the light. A hand rests on his shoulder.
Thanks. Why don't you lead us out of here?
Come on, guys! Get around!
Brian stands up, his team slapping him on the back and affectionately pounding his shoulder pads. Broadcast on a large stadium monitor, Brian pulls on his helmet, leading his team onto the field. Scanning the crowd, Brian spots his mom and Justin cheering in the stands. Brian grins widely from the field. In a Columbia campus park, Karina clutches her phone, open-mouthed, watching the game on the small screen. On August 8th, 2013, Brian finally fulfilled his dream of playing in the NFL. Video footage shows the real Brian Banks executing a tackle in his Atlanta Falcons uniform. In his red and white number 53 jersey, Brian pursues and tackles a running back from behind. Beneath his helmet that reflects the bright stadium lights, Brian wears a wide smile. At the age of 28, he became one of the oldest rookies ever to play in an NFL game. A photo shows Brian in the courtroom, head down, and Justin standing by him. After Brian's exoneration, Justin Brooks had Brian's parole violations dismissed and his record cleared. Justin stands next to Brian in a photo. Justin co-founded the California Innocence Project in 1999. He has successfully exonerated 27 people imprisoned for crimes they did not commit. He has never charged a cent for his services. Justin plays guitar in a photo. He continues to work on the case of Marilyn Malero. It's been 23 years. Marilyn is pictured in a Christmas photo. Brian continues to work with Justin and the CIP, traveling the country and speaking on behalf of the innocent. Brian appears in photographs wearing an exonerate sweatshirt. Jerome and Brian appear in a photo together. Brian is still supported and encouraged by his mentor, Jerome Johnson. They remain good friends to this day. Brian hugs his mom in a photo. Credits appear, directed by Tom Shadyac. Photos of Brian with family and friends continue, written by Doug Acheson. Produced by Amy Baer, PGA. Produced by Shivani Rawat, PGA, and Monica Levinson, PGA. Real-life Brian appears in a photo next to the actor who portrays him, Aldis Hodge as Brian Banks. Real-life Justin appears in a photo next to the actor who portrays him, Greg Kinnear as Justin Brooks. A photo of Brian with his mom, Sherry Shepherd as Brian's mom, Leomia. A photo of the actress portraying Katrina with real-life Brian, Melanie Liebert as Karina Cooper. A snapshot of the actress portraying Kenesha, Zosia Rockmore as Kenesha Rice. a photo of real-life Alyssa next to the actress portraying her, Tiffany DuPont, as Alyssa Bjerkel. Beside Brian's real-life legal team and the actors who portray them, a title appears, Brian Banks. Photos of Justin's clients appear, along with the amount of years they spent in prison before being exonerated. Dorian Missick, Michael Fronte, Jose Miguel Vasquez. Executive producer, Derek Tseng. Executive producers, Brian Banks, Justin Brooks, Neil Strum. Executive producer, Terrell D. Whitley. Casting by Leah Daniels Butler, CSA. Director of photography, Ricardo Diaz. Production designer, Teresa Mastropiero. Edited by Greg Hayden. Costume designer, Amanda Ford. Music by John Debney. Music supervisors, Julianne Jordan, Justine Von Winterfeld. Bleecker Street and Shiv Hans Pictures presents a Shiv Hans Pictures production, a Gidden Media production, a film by Tom Shadyac. Credits roll. If I hide, I ain't living. What I got's everything that I'm giving. So even if you tie my body down, I'll be living with my mind in butter clouds. Cause I'm free. It was hard enough to be free. I got down. I've been pushing through the pain, fighting through the heavy rain, able to without the cane, perseverance in my veins. Someone took the melting pot up off the heat. Say it's due process, when the process due for me. Somebody please, gonna accept this letter, till these fetters severed, spin that record. Yes sir, got a lot to say. Y'all will never, ever get a better effort when you measure seconds at the dawn of day. Breaking bonds, they keep them locked. Free of charge, not free of cost. Bring me along when Jesus walk. I can't let up for a second. If I do, then we done lost. And if I run, if I hide, I ain't living. What I got's everything that I'm giving. So even if you tie my body down, I'll be living with my mind in butter clouds. Cause I'm free. It was hard enough to be free. I got down on my knees and I prayed. When I there are thousands of innocent people in prison in California and around the world. Resources are needed to free them. Support your local innocence organization. To donate to the California Innocence Project, go to californiainnocenceproject.org. Truth Shall Rise IP LLC is the author of this motion picture for the purposes of United States copyright law, the Berne Convention, and all other laws giving effect thereto. This motion picture is based on actual events. Some incidents, characters, and timelines have been changed for dramatic purposes. Certain characters are composites or entirely fictitious. This motion picture is protected by copyright and other applicable laws of the United States and other countries. Any unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition of this motion picture may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. Copyright 2018, Truth Shall Rise IP LLC, all rights reserved. This film has been described by Pixelogic Media with funding by Bleecker Street, voiced by Keith Coloris.